Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening with the Highland Radio News at 5:30. I'm Ryan Brawley. A look at today's headlines. Politicians shared their thoughts on the revised IS465 standard that will be used to test homes for defective concrete. A Freedom of Information request has been submitted to the Department of Agriculture seeking an update on a proposed expansion of oyster and mussel farming in Lough Swilly. A Midlands North West MEP has criticised a new proposal from the EU to centralise regional funding, and an Inishowen councillor has criticised the decision not to televise or stream the Donegal versus Cork match on Saturday week. All these stories in full and more coming up, and we'll have a full update of all the sport with Mark Gallagher at around 5:45. But first, politicians shared their thoughts on the revised IS465 standard that will be used to test homes for defective concrete. An update has been long awaited, as the old rules didn't follow the science, which many argued led to inaccurate results. Speaking on this morning's Greg Hughes Show, former chair of Donegal County Council's DCB committee, Councillor Martin McDermott, says this will trigger a review into the defective concrete block scheme. One development in the standard is that foundations will be tested. Councillor McDermott says he thinks the scheme will be expanded to include this, but a timeline is unclear.
I suppose if they're ready to start the demolition, the new standard does bring in the testing of foundations. But that, as I say, has to go through a process, and there's no point in us sitting here today and saying that that's going to happen next week or the week after. This could be, you know, as Deputy Ward knows, it could be a month, it could be 2 months before this is ironed out. There's a lot of unanswered questions here. For somebody that's moving forward at the minute, if the foundations do come into to the scheme, there is quite a possibility that legislation will have to change to allow people to get paid for that. That could take...
Yeah, but this house will be built on the old foundations by then. Do they progress or not?
But I mean, asking me to answer that question is very unfair.
No, it's not. Sorry, it's not intended to be unfair, Martin. It's really what I was trying to do is that we're having the real conversation, Charles.
At this particular moment in time, the answer to that question is that we don't know how long it's going to take for the process to allow foundations to be tested, to allow if they're going to bring in extra costs that's going to allow people to claim for those foundations. That is all to be determined yet. That is all to be ironed out yet.
100% Redress Deputy Charles Ward says he fears that the new standard is too open.
Well, what the changes mean now is that we're going to be science-led, okay? But being science-led means we're still open to interpretations according to this document. So this document would say that we're leaning and putting more responsibility upon engineers. And the way in which this scheme moves forward will be through science, but it will also be leaning towards engineers moving forward. And there is an issue with that moving forward, because we have a history of, within certain groups, particularly the downgraded homeowners, with unethical engineering. And that is fact.
What does that mean? What does that mean for those outside of the sort of the knowledge loop?
So what it means is that the testing will be done. It will be engineer-led. So, for example, it's how the evidence is interpreted. It's how the samples are taken and the future risk assessment going forward. And it has to be weighed up. So everything from how the samples are taken to how it's processed. And if there's ISA in this, then it's full demolition. But if there's issues within, then it goes back to the housing agency. And history in the past has shown that there has been serious questions to be asked regarding the housing agency.
A Freedom of Information request has been submitted to the Department of Agriculture seeking an update on a proposed expansion of oyster and mussel farming in Lough Swilly. When the proposal was first raised, it prompted public meetings where concerns were expressed about potential impacts on wildlife and tourism in the area. Objections were also lodged by attendees of those meetings, while Antashka submitted a detailed document outlining its opposition to the plans. Campaigner Hazel Russell says she submitted the FOI request after the expected decision date was passed without any update on the status of the proposal.
Well, at the time, we got an automatic response saying that, you know, your submission had been noted, and no, received nothing since. So after 3 months, I decided to do a, you know, a Freedom of Information request to see what the ongoing result would be, because from my memory of at the time, they expected to have a result by the 2nd of June. We are spending huge amounts of money for tourism and county council tourism related events and different things like that in the county. And, you know, we're on the Wild Atlantic Way. It's a special area of conservation. It's a special protected area. You know, from my end of it, I'd be more concerned about the environmental impacts with pollution and marine waste. I work quite a lot with Tidy Towns and Clean Coasts, and we see the evidence here on the shores day to day.
And Hazel, just in relation to the Freedom of Information request, when did you submit it, and have you heard back yet, or when do you expect to?
I submitted it on Monday, and I got a response back on Tuesday just to acknowledge receipt of my submission, and they would hope to have a response back by the 30th of June.
A Midlands North West MEP has criticised a new proposal from the EU to centralise regional funding. The single fund model would involve a single payment to Ireland, distributed by the state for regional projects, a change from the current model, which distributes directly to the regions. Kieran Mullooly says that he opposes this and is concerned that there appears to be an acceptance that regional policy has done its job. That's despite the border region having a GDP per capita that is 70% of the EU average, according to the Northern and Western Regional Assembly. Mr. Mullooly adds that if targeted regional funding were removed, that figure would decrease.
I have no doubt that that percentage would decrease. What I talked about in the Parliament was the country of two halves, and even the region of two halves. And I pointed out that we need to have the regional authorities and the regional assemblies and the local authorities and the county councils at the coalface in deciding where this money goes. You know, on one region such as we have, Galway City doing significantly well, a huge amount of employment for the region, over 50-60% of the employment for the region in that part. But in contrast, then, we have parts of Donegal and Sligo and Leitrim which are not doing well. And this is why we need to have each local authority and each regional assembly working together to identify the scale of funding required on a case-by-case basis. And I listened to the Commission yesterday say to us that, you know, they will still allocate a minimum amount for cohesion and a minimum amount for these other funds such as LEADER or indeed such as Just Transition in some regions. That's not good enough for me. I think we have to favour the disadvantaged areas, the areas of depopulation and areas where we're low employment. And, you know, we just can't be talking in terms of minimum amounts. We should be fixing an appropriate amount and then ring-fencing it so that it can't end up in agriculture or something else.
An Inishowen councillor has criticised the decision not to televise or stream the Donegal versus Cork match on Saturday week. Councillor Jack Murray has described it as unacceptable that the match at McCool Park in Ballybuffet will not be shown live on RTE or GAA+. Councillor Murray says the game has all the makings of a high-quality contest and should be available to a wider audience. He is calling for the decision to be reversed, saying supporters are being unfairly shut out.
No, I think it's absolutely disgraceful. Look, there was a lot of excitement when the draw was made. Everybody's looking forward to watching it, hopefully in person, but those who can't, on TV. And then that was followed by the disappointment that this game wouldn't be televised. And look, Oisín's touched on it there. It defies logic. Donegal were last year's All-Ireland finalists, were National League champions. Cork's a team on the up. It promises to be a fantastic game. And for the people of Cork, particularly, look, they're the furthest county in Ireland away from us. They're a hugely populated county. There's about 500,000 people there who'd be looking forward to the game, now completely excluded. As you said, look, we've Donegal people in the four corners of the world, bitterly disappointed. People who've paid for their subscription for the year are now unable to do it. The people in County Donegal who may be caring for children, caring for elderly people themselves, who simply can't get this game, watch this game. And I just think it's absolutely unacceptable. And
well, the Highland Radio sports team will be on the ground providing match coverage with the build-up, game commentary and reaction. Head of sport at Highland Radio, Oisín Kelly, told Greg Hughes what listeners can expect.
We will have extensive coverage, as we do from each and every game, Greg. There is a 3 o'clock start for it. It is early, and obviously it's to do with Cork's situation and travelling, but we'll be live from from 2:30 we'll have the build up from Ballybuffet, and then the full game live along with the two Brendans, Mr. Devaney and Mr. Kilcoyne, and we'll have after match reaction for you as well. So you won't miss a thing from that game. Stick on Highland, be it in the radio, be it in your phone, be it in your smart speaker, wherever you get Highland, whatever part of the world, because it's not just local here that it's on FM.
You'll get
us worldwide. And when we go away to different events and people come home for holidays, they always talk about the Highland connection that they have, particularly for the football.
The husband of one of the alleged victims of Geoffrey Donaldson had broken down in tears while giving his evidence in court. The former DUP leader has pleaded not guilty to 18 historic sex offences. His wife Eleanor denies 5 charges and faces a trial of the facts. Emily Keegan has this report, which listeners may find upsetting.
The husband of complainant A has told the jury in this trial he was made aware of her allegations in 2019. He became upset when telling the court the complainant told him Geoffrey Donaldson abused her on a number of occasions when she was younger. He said she told him Mr. Donaldson inappropriately touched her on a number of occasions, kissed her, and also detailed an alleged incident when the accused used a light to look at her private parts. He told the court it was surreal to hear this and he was quite upset at the time. The witness said she told him she had never told anyone this before, and he said he could recognise it was massive for her. The trial continues tomorrow. Emily Keegan at Newry Crown Court.
Fire crews have now dealt with a fire which ignited in Sion Mills today. Firefighters were called to reports of 2 large sheds on fire in the Primrose Park area. In a statement, the NI Fire and Rescue Service say that firefighters wearing breathing apparatus used 1 jet and 2 hosiery jets to extinguish the fire. The cause is believed to be accidental, and the incident was dealt with by 4:09 p.m.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports. Find all your GA essentials at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 5:45 on Highland Radio, and it's time to go over to the sports desk and say good evening to Mark Gallagher.
Thanks, Ryan. We'll begin this evening with athletics. Mark English is back in Diamond League action this evening. The Finn Valley man will run the 800 metres event in Rome's Olympic Stadium from 8:15 Irish time. In the 2 Diamond League meetings to date that Mark has competed in, he won in China in mid-May and was then placed 11th in Morocco just last week. The field tonight includes a couple of former world champions and a European under-23 champion, but English goes into that race as the highest-ranked world athlete at number 7. In golf, Shane Lowry is 1 under par through 13 holes at the Memorial Tournament this evening. The Offaly native shot back-to-back bogeys on an opening 2 holes, but has since settled. Rory McIlroy is also 1 under after 9 holes. He bounced back from a double bogey to pot 3 consecutive birdies. Elsewhere at the Women's US Open, Leona Maguire sits 2 over after a couple of early bogeys, while Olivia Mahaffey is in the early stages of her round. Moving on to soccer, Republic of Ireland striker Amber Barrett believes the team have renewed drive heading into the final games of their World Cup qualifying campaign. Carla Ward's side face the Netherlands at Parky Keefe tomorrow, fresh from back-to-back wins over Poland. They still have a chance of topping their group, and Milford native Barrett feels the players are full of confidence.
We set out at the start of the last camp with 6 points was our aim, and that was our goal, and to achieve that is massively uplifting to everybody. It creates a winning mentality. The environment just lifts with that. Looking at the table mathematically, we can still qualify directly. It's nice to be in that position rather than you're in a position and you're realistically playing just to avoid the fourth position.
You can hear more from Amber over on highlandradio.com. The board of the FAI are reportedly set to meet this evening over the upcoming Nations League ties with Israel. It's reported that the possibility of moving the home game outside of Dublin will be discussed. That follows a recent protest at Ireland's friendly with Qatar, with some fans calling for a boycott of the fixtures. Northern Ireland are in action this evening in an international friendly against Guinea. They have travelled to Cadiz in Spain for the first of 2 friendlies in this international window. The game kicked off at 5:00, and approaching half-time, it is Northern Ireland 1, Guinea 0. Former Chelsea midfielder Claude Makélélé says big clubs always come back. It was a difficult season at Stamford Bridge as they missed out on European qualification with a 10th placed finish in the Premier League. Makélélé hopes Xabi Alonso's arrival as manager brings a change of direction.
New manager, new generation, no football. He come from Madrid, I think. It will give something different, no? Because we need to come back. Chelsea still not qualified for Europe, can't fight for the Big Four.
Well, the World Cup starts a week today and teams continue to arrive at the tournament. Morocco have touched down in New Jersey where they'll continue their preparations. They were the surprise package of the tournament 4 years ago as they reached the semi-finals. Captain Arkaf Hakimi is excited to see how far they can go this time.
Of course, we are a little bit tired. It was a long flight, but really happy, like I said. We are happy to be here. We can't wait to start training and see the atmosphere, like I said, of the Moroccan all the support in America. So really happy and excited to be here.
In tennis, Mira Andreeva has booked her spot in this year's French Open final. She's reached her first ever Grand Slam decider with a straight sets win over Marta Kostyuk. She'll face one of Maya Kvalinska or Diana Schneider at Roland Garros this Saturday. Kvalinska has taken the opening set in that encounter on a tiebreak. Moving on to rugby, Irish rugby legend Fergus Slattery has died at the age of 77. The flanker earned 61 caps for Ireland, winning the Five Nations Championship in 1974, as well as Triple Crowns in 82 and 85. He went on 3 Lions tours and was part of the series wins in 71, 74 and 1979. Speaking back in 2017, Slattery said he loved representing the Lions on those tours.
There's lots of moments to win three of the four tests and draw the, as we did, unfortunately, the fourth one. They were all great moments, each and every one of them. Thankfully, there are lots of moments. I think that's the great thing about it.
In Gaelic games, Donegal's clash with Cork in round 2A of the All-Ireland Senior Football Championship is already helling for a sellout at Sean McCool Park in Ballybofey. That fixture will be played on Saturday the 13th of June at 3 o'clock. Despite tickets only going on sale this morning, over 14,000 have already been sold, so spectators are urged to act quickly if they are planning on attending. Elsewhere, Monaghan footballer Bobby McCall is set to miss the rest of the season with a knee injury. McCall ruptured his cruciate ligament in last weekend's loss to Mayo in the All-Ireland Senior Football Championship. Finally, for this evening, coming up on the score between 7 and 8, Highlands Big Match GAA pundit Brendan Devaney will take a look at the All-Ireland Championship second round draw. We'll preview Mark English's run in Rome at the Diamond League meeting later on. The second round draw has been made for the FAI Senior Cup. Joe Boyle will run his eye over the ties for Finn Harps and Derry City. Plus, we'll get an update on how the Finn Harps women's team are doing from Head of Women's Development at Finn Park, Paddy McDade. That's all coming up on the score between 7 and 8 this evening. Back to you, Ryan.
Thank you very much, Mark. And the weather: showers will become less frequent through the evening. Clear spells with well scattered showers tonight. Lowest temperatures of 5 to 9 degrees with west to southwest winds easing light to moderate. A mix of sunny spells and well scattered showers tomorrow morning through the late afternoon and evening. Rain will spread from the southwest as light to moderate southerly winds become southeasterly and increase moderate to fresh and gusty. Highest temperatures tomorrow 12 to 15 degrees. A look back on today's top stories. Politicians shared their thoughts on the revised IS465 standard that will be used to test homes for defective concrete. An update has been long awaited as the old rules didn't follow the science, which many argued led to inaccurate results. Speaking on this morning's Greg Hughes show, Councillor Martin McDermott says this will trigger a review into the defective concrete block scheme. One development in the standard is that foundations will be tested. Councillor McDermott says he thinks the scheme will be expanded to include this, but a timeline is unclear. While 100% redress, Deputy Charles Ward says he fears that the new IS465 standard is too open. A Freedom of Information request has been submitted to the Department of Agriculture seeking an update on a proposed expansion of oyster and mussel farming in Lough Swilly. When the proposal was first raised, it prompted public meetings where concerns were expressed about potential impacts on wildlife and tourism in the area. Objections were also lodged by attendees at those meetings, while Antashka submitted a detailed document outlining its opposition to the plans. Campaigner Hazel Russell says she submitted the FOI request after the expected decision date passed, without any update on the status of the proposal. A Midlands North West MEP has criticised a new proposal from the EU to centralise regional funding. The single fund model would involve a single payment to Ireland distributed by the state for regional projects, a change from the current model which distributes directly to the regions. Kieran Mullooly says that he opposes this and is concerned that there appears to be an acceptance that regional policy has done its job. That's despite the border region having a GDP per capita that is 70% of the EU average, according to the Northern and Western Regional Assembly. Mr. Mullooly adds that if targeted regional funding were removed, that percentage figure would decrease. And an Inishowen councillor has criticised the decision not to televise or stream the Donegal versus Cork match on Saturday week. Councillor Jack Murray has described it as unacceptable that the match in McCool Park and Ballybuffet will not be shown live on RTE or GAA+. Councillor Murray says the game involving last year's All-Ireland finalist Donegal and an improving Cork side has all the makings of a high-quality contest and should be available to a wider audience. He's calling for the decision to be reversed, saying supporters are being unfairly shut out. That's all from the news team for now. Farming news and views with Chris Ashmore will follow this evening's obituary notices. We'll be back with news again at 7 o'clock. The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, June the 4th. The death has taken place of Aunt Doherty, Drima Canoe, Church Hill. Reposing at her home, house private please. Requiem Mass on Saturday at 11 a.m. in St. Columbkill's Church Glendown, with interment afterwards in Temple Douglas Cemetery. Family flowers only, with donations in lieu, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member. The death has taken place of John Gallagher, Mina Creeve, Dunluey, Gidore. His remains are reposing at his home in Mina Creeve today, and again tomorrow from 12 noon, with rosary both nights at 8 p.m. House private after the rosary and on the morning of the funeral. Funeral from there on Friday for 11 a.m. Requiem Mass in Christ the King Church, Gortahork. Burial afterwards in the adjacent cemetery. Family flowers only, please, in lieu to Fulcara Community Hospital, care of any family member. Funeral Mass can be viewed on mcn.live. The death has occurred of Adrian McDade, Ned, Temple Moyle, Culdaff. Adrian's remains are reposing at his home. The family home is private today and everyone is welcome to pay their respects tomorrow from 12 noon until 9 p.m. Funeral from there on Saturday at 9:50 a.m. for 10:30 a.m. Requiem Mass in St. Patrick's Church, Aoha Clay, followed by burial in Lag Graveyard. Requiem Mass can be viewed live on Eamon McLaughlin Funeral Director's Facebook page. Family flowers only, please, donations in lieu, if desired, to University Hospital Galway A&D, care of any family member or Eamon McLaughlin Funeral Directors. The death has occurred of Anne Mitchell, née Curran, 1 Finnside Close Lifford, and formerly of Ard O'Donnell, Letterkenny. Anne will repose at her late residence, 1 Finnside Close Lifford, today until 10 p.m. and tomorrow from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Family time, please, on the morning of the funeral. Parking is available at Clonlea Social Centre. Funeral from her home on Saturday morning at 10 a.m, travelling to St. Eunan's Cathedral, Letterkenny, for 11 a.m. Requiem Mass, followed by burial in Newleck Cemetery, Letterkenny. The death has occurred of Pauline Branigan, née McDade, Ahavenan Rathmullen, formerly of Blacksglen Remelton. Reposing at her son Martin and daughter-in-law Caroline's home at Ahavenan Rathmullen until rosary at 9 p.m. today, and tomorrow from 12 noon until rosary at 9 p.m. Family time on the morning of the funeral. Funeral leaving Ahavenan at 10 past 10 on Saturday morning, travelling via Blacksglen to St. Mary's Church Remelton for 11 a.m. Requiem Mass, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. The Mass can be viewed live on churchservices.tv. Family flowers only, donations in lieu to the Patients Comfort Fund RSC Donal Milford, care of any family member or McElwee Funeral Directors Milford. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.
Hello and welcome to Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. Farmers will be able to receive €5,000 for scrapping diesel or petrol vehicles that are more than 13 years old. Well, that's all a part of a new €10 million pilot scheme. And 65% of the funding will be ring-fenced for people living outside the main cities. Now, this new scrappage scheme has been introduced by the Minister for Transport, Dara O'Brien, as part of efforts to accelerate electric vehicle uptake. Eligible vehicle owners will be required to permanently scrap an older diesel or petrol vehicle and use the incentive towards the purchase of a battery electric vehicle. Farmers with older Jeeps and work vehicles are expected to be among those who could benefit from this initiative. There's been a bounce in wool prices in recent months, with the prices going up at the key Bradford sales in the UK. It's been attracting fresh interest, but will this upward trend continue, and will it actually mean a positive net return for the likes of farmers in Donegal? To tell me more, I've been joined by Declan O'Brien, Irish Farmers Journal reporter.
Well, I suppose it's all about the Bradford market, and there's talk that the Chinese have come back into the market. There's talk that they have that they're buying a lot more in Bradford, that they're buying a lot more of Kiwi wool. So that the last sale in Bradford, you had a 99% clearance of the offering. You had a 6.8% increase in price. And I suppose that positivity is feeding back here into Ireland. Now, there's another sale scheduled for next Wednesday, and those in the industry are saying that will really set the tone for the year. Now, I suppose it's a welcome hike and a welcome price increase, but it's off a very low base. So it's up on 70 cents a kilo for good quality lowland wool, but that's coming off 35 cents a kilo, and you're still talking, even at 70 cents a kilo, that fellas will be, that it won't cover the cost of shearing, which is around 253 euros a head, so that you'll still be subventing the shearing to the tune of a euro 50 a head. But I suppose what farmer representatives are saying is that wool had dropped so low that it was seen nearly as a waste product, you know, and that hopefully this will kind of change the attitude among farmers and the mindset and put a bit of interest back into the wool trade. And I know two Donegalmen, Adrian Gallagher there from IFA and Fela Malloy of the IMHFA, are both banging that drum, you know. And the IMHFA has been banging the drum that really we need to look at this product and find other uses for it and drive demand. Because for the hill wool, you know, for white Scotch wool, that's at 35, 40 cents a kilo, which is a long way off of where it should be at, and black Scotch wool is at 15-20, you know. And I was talking to a man in Kerry, and he was saying to me, look, there was a time when hill wool and with crossbred wool was making north of a euro a kilo, and he said we need to be getting back to that kind of territory now. Getting back there seems a long, long way away at the moment, but it's all about driving other uses, and I suppose it's one of the things that won the challenges for the sector.
Now, wasn't there a wool council or a wool forum set up some time ago to look into ways of maybe getting a better price?
Sorry for cutting across you there, Chris, but that's very true. And what farmers will say is, look, they're doing study after study after study, but there's none of these are being commercialised, you know. And they're saying that there's the possibilities of shredding wool and using it and pelletizing wool and using it as a slow release and nutrient base, you know, and for around trees and in the horticulture industry and whatever. But I think it needs a dedicated and needs a focused push really to drive this on now.
And what has been happening to the wool that farmers haven't been able to sell? Or are they taking a very low price and just taking the hit?
They've been taking a very low price and taking the hit. A lot of merchants and a lot of shearers have a lot of wool in sheds, you know. And they'll be looking to offload this year, and maybe they'll make a hop out of it. And some will say, well, they deserve it for holding on to it. But it's all a function of Chinese demand, really. And I suppose it comes back to the cleaning of the wool. It's not the cleanest process in the world,
And I'm no expert in this area, but that is what is said. And they have been using the wool in rugs and stuff like that. But like there's other uses of insulation and sound damping, all those areas that need to be, didn't really need to be checked out and researched.
And finally, Declan, just while we have you on, farmers are paying a lot more for pit silage and bale silage compared to this time last year, and that's pretty much across the whole country.
Yeah, everybody is saying, look at, you're talking of, there's a massive range in prices. Chris, you're talking for pit silage anywhere from 165, no, that was, I think that's an outlier, and more likely that you're looking 170 to 200 euros an acre, that's including VAT. And for bale silage, it's up, that's up. The pit silage is up 20, 30 euros an acre. And that's with 3-4 tractors on the draw. You put in a long draw and you're going to be paying for the extra tractors and trailers on a per hour basis. That's what the lads, the contractors, are saying because of the hike in diesel. Bale prices, more difficult to get a handle on, but looking like you're talking 2 to 4 euros a bale more. Prices ranging there from 18 to 22, even talk of 23 euros a bale. But I suppose as well, those prices. Now, we were more or less taking what the farmers were saying, and the contractors were coming in and kind of saying, yeah, we haven't the prices agreed, but these are the ballpark areas we're at. The sad fact for the contractors in this is that many of them won't be paid until the single farm payment comes through later in the year. And that's when the final deal will be done. But that's the prices quoted there are where it looks like it's at the moment, you know. So it's a function of dear diesel and labour. You know, labour costs have increased as well. And that's with contractors struggling to get drivers in many parts of the country.
And that was Declan O'Brien, Irish Farmers Journal reporter. In other news this week, entries are now open for the 4th Annual National Dairy Awards, which will be held in November. There are 20 awards across 5 main categories: Farmer Awards, Farm Network Awards, Dairy Produce Awards, Processing Awards and Headline Awards. Finally, some advance notice of an equine pasture management workshop being promoted through Teagasc. It will take place on Thursday, June the 18th from 6:30 to 9 p.m. at Dean's Equestrian Centre in Brookless. The event will focus on sustainable grazing for equine farming, soil health, pasture hygiene, biodiversity and efficient fertiliser use. The booking fee is €20 and you can register through Teagasc. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.